just before coming down, in fact, the reason that I was a little late, Bhakti Churuswami just called, and I told him I have to go now because I'm taking part in an installation of these disciplic succession murtis. And he was very happy because this was one of his long cherished projects. It's been through many stages. Some of the initial murtis were not as attractive as these, but refinement and refinement. And any of you that know Bhakti Churumaraj at all know that his devotion to Prabhupada is unparalleled, and along with Prabhupada, then that means the disciplic succession. So he really, really wanted to provide our society, members of our society, the temples or individuals or whoever became so inspired, to be able to directly worship the murti forms of our disciplic succession. Deity worship is a very important part of our Krishna conscious practice. Just was reading Srila Prabhupada writing something about the role of deity worship is especially important for householders and especially important for neophytes, but that does not mean that those who are advanced can or should neglect deity worship. He cited the example of our Goswamis of Vrindavan, topmost platform of Krishna consciousness, and they all established, well, most of them established temples where there was beautiful deity worship, certainly in part for the benefit of those that are not so advanced as themselves, but on the very advanced stage, when the worship of the deity form or the murti form is taken by realization as non-different. I'll give two examples from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Hari Bhakti Vilas is a book that was compiled by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Those of you that know which of the six Goswamis he was expert in deity worship. He was expert in many things, but he was the son of the chief priest in Srirangam. Venkata Bhatta was his father, chief priest of all the deity worship in all of Srirangam, and he was his son, Gopal. And Gopal Bhatta, later Gopal Bhatta Goswami, had compiled, based upon the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and what he knew of the procedures of deity worship, he compiled a manual, not only for deity worship, but all kinds of things, how to observe festivals, how to observe all the rituals of Vaishnava life, including deity worship. So one of the things, one of the sections that's in Hari Bhakti Vilas is what to do when the deity becomes broken. So one should be very careful when handling deities, because it's possible they can become broken. So there's one section that describes when a deity becomes broken, then you replace the deity, you take the deity to the sea, and with stone or something, so the deity goes to the bottom, the deity is placed in the sea, and another deity is installed in place of that deity, so the deity worship can continue in an unbroken fashion, uninterrupted fashion. Then there's another place where it says if the deity is broken, it is like the father of the child seeing, oh, that the child has damaged their hand. Then they repair their hand. They don't throw away the child and get another child. because they see the deity as Krishna and treat the deity like one treats a small child, or the child is dependent upon the parent, and so with great care and affection the care for the deity goes. If I don't go and make the offering to the deity, he'll go hungry. So Krishna isn't hungry. He's not eating anything. But the love is such that one sees the deity non-different than Krishna. And one of the concluding remarks of the whole of Hari Bhakti Vilas is that all of the above, all of the procedures that are described for everything, it must be executed under the care of a spiritual master, because the spiritual master knows the faith of the disciple and can administer the principles according to the faith of the disciple. Meaning, in this particular case, if there is a neophyte, a more neophyte and less advanced consciousness, then there is a procedure for disposing of the deity. I personally had this experience when I was a very new devotee. I mean, a few weeks in living in the Boston temple, I don't know what happened, but Subhadra, amongst the Jagannath deities, there was some damage. I don't know the story. I was just given the service along with Karunamaya to go to the Charles River and burlap bag and stone inside the burlap bag, the deity, and we were given some mantras, and the deity went to the Charles River and another deity took the deity's place. That was in Boston. And then the devotees in one temple in Australia, I think it's Melbourne, where Krishna holds the flute, the thumb on his left hand broke. They asked Prabhupada what to do, and he said, repair. So, according to the position of the individuals and the instruction of the spiritual master, different procedures are to be applied, and the principle is according to the faith of the individual. It's a little detail about deity worship that's important in the bigger picture of deity worship. So when we began worship, the beginning stages of the Hare Krishna movement, there weren't deities because we weren't qualified. It was Guru Garanga, altar, that was Prabhupada's phrase. There was a picture of Prabhupada and a picture of Lord Chaitanya, or he commissioned artists to make paintings of Panchatattva and the classic pose of Lord Chaitanya standing, and the other forms of the Lord, the other tattvas of the Lord on either side, Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya and Gadadhar and Shivas, and we worship Panchatattva. So he called that Guru Garanga altar, and that was fine. So those of you in your home that have a Guru Garanga altar, that's fine, no problem, very nice, it's standard. And at some point in time, when the devotees, Prabhupada felt the devotees were ready, and there was some eagerness, and there was a number of qualified brahmanas to take responsibility for the worship of deities, then he introduced Jagannath worship, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra worship, or Gornatai worship. And he was very frugal, stingy, very conservative about Radha Krishna worship. That didn't come till much later. And all the while, so the guru, then Prabhupada's instruction was guru and parama guru. And in this way, just when we say the Mangalacharna prayers at the end of kirtan, it's Srila Prabhupada's prana mantra and Bhaktisiddhanta's prana mantra. These the first of his Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. So guru and parama guru, and then Lord Chaitanya. So then other limited numbers of photographs were approved by Srila Prabhupada. The six Goswamis photograph, Nrsingadev, or Prahlad Nrsinga, Lakshmi Nrsinga, some picture of Nrsingadev, also on the altar. And then our disciplic succession. So those are standard items that are on altars in homes, in temples, all around ISKCON. You'll find that practice. Then at some point, Prabhupada, Kaladri told this story. He was the one, I didn't know this till he told me, there was an idea to get Prabhupada's, the imprint of his foot. So he made soft clay in a little tray, and Kaladri personally pushed Prabhupada's foot into the soft clay and held it there, thinking, boy, am I fortunate. And then slowly lifted his foot so that it would leave the nice imprint, and then the other foot next to it, so that we could have lastingly the lotus feet of our spiritual master. And that became part of worship in temples, or shoes of Srila Prabhupada in front of his Vyasasan. And then during his presence, he gave approval of his murti also to be established. It was a very important part of Prabhupada's teaching and his training of his disciples to make very strong emphasis on Guru Padashraya, the importance of taking shelter and having great faith in the spiritual master. Because we were Western people that knew nothing about nothing in spiritual life. So the strength that enabled the Hare Krishna movement to move forward and for each of us to move toward Krishna was our faith in Prabhupada. So he nurtured that faith. One example of that, a prime example of that, is Prabhupada wrote, he translated Nectar Devotion in 1970, summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And one of the items in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and the items of in things to do and things not to do, is not to worship others in front of the deity. So Prabhupada wrote like that, knowing very well what Rupa Goswami wrote, and at the same time, in front of the deity, Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasana and we engaged in Guru Puja in front of the deity. So somebody asked Prabhupada, it says this and you've trained us this way, could you explain? In his case, in our case, the necessity to have such clear and strong faith in the spiritual master, he could have arranged for the deity door or curtain to be closed for instructive purposes, that in future generations we should do like that. But he didn't do like that. He left the curtain open or the deity door open, and we did Guru Puja before the deity. The primary importance going to the worship of the spiritual master. And historically, Prabhupada's giving permission for his murti to be created, I don't know, you know, if there are other examples of this in our sampradaya or other sampradayas, but it was very special that what Prabhupada had done. And now here we have the entire disciplic, not the entire, the most recent disciplic succession members. So part of what this represents or enables us to visualize is, in fact, when we're making some offering that we offer to the, using Prabhupada's phrase, the current link, the offering is going through the line of disciplic succession onto Krishna. Or we offer some service, if not, you know, in the deity form, any service, or the other direction. We receive some mercy, we receive some knowledge. It's coming down in disciplic succession. And the murti forms help us visualize that fact. A nice example of this is in Jagannath Puri. ISKCON has a temple, and the temple was a property that was given to ISKCON right across the street from the samadhi of Haridas Thakur. And the place previously was occupied by, in fact, it was a much, much, much larger property, occupied by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When he went to live in Puri, it was not developed like it is today. So it was a large place, and he had his bhajan kutir, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the person who was the caretaker of that same property, after some time, he either gave it or sold it to the exact place where Bhaktivinoda Thakur sat and did his bhajan, right across the street from the samadhi of Haridas Thakur. But it's a very special place because it's holy dham, and special place just proximate to the departure of place of Haridas Thakur, where Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates would regularly go and perform kirtan and chant the holy name. It's a very, very sacred place. And in the temple room in the back is unique, a very large, larger than life-size murti of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and next to him our Srila Prabhupada. So when you see Prabhupada sitting next to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's powerful. Seeing Prabhupada's murti in a temple room, many people, I don't know if you've had this experience here in Washington or in Baltimore, Potomac or in Baltimore, but people that are coming to the temple the first time, they ask, how come he's not moving? You've had that experience. And I was talking to him, but he wouldn't reply. Have I made some offense or something like that? Some kind of remark like that. They didn't realize that it was a murti form. And when you see so the murti form is powerful, and the murti form of Prabhupada next to Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, it's even more powerful, or double powerful, two forms of our disciplic succession. And these murtis now of Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Gaurakishordas Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, I was thinking to spend the time speaking about something about their lives, but that would take hours because there's so much, that they're so rich of the giving a picture of the personalities of each of these individuals and the contributions of each of these individuals and the relationships of each of these individuals. It would take a lot of time. But one thing that can be said is very diverse. Very diverse. At the same time, very unified. Just one example that comes to mind is Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a elevated personality that at his feet G Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would come and sit and hear from him. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj took him as his Shiksha Guru. But Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, personality-wise, was renunciation personified. He was austere to a radical degree. Extremely renounced. Your mridanga changed its shape. Hare Krishna. Extremely, extremely renounced. Without too many examples. Extremely, radically renounced. He went blind because he refused to go to a doctor in Calcutta, which he called hell. I will not go to that hell called Calcutta to have his eyes examined or repaired, whatever was the difficulty. So he practically went blind. He sat at the feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a householder, a government employee, a father of 9 children, seemingly, in other words, worldly involved person, compared to an individual who had nothing to do with anything of this world, sat at his feet and heard Srimad Bhagavatam from him. And another person was also a Naishtika Brahmachari, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You know, scholarly up to as far as you can see, and beyond that, sitting at the feet of his father, hearing the discourses on Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita side by side with renunciation personified, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So, Sarva Upadi Vinir Muktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam. These elevated personalities, personality-wise, were so radically different. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, as a Babaji, he came all the way from Vrindavan to come to Mayapur at the invitation of a householder, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to worship Krishna in the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And our Srila Prabhupada, who lived his life as all of you are, most of you are, leading your life as householders, and duly entered into the house, the sannyas ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyas ashram, and dedicated his life to taking the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and transmitted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur down in disciplic succession through his son Bhaktisiddhanta and to our Srila Prabhupada. Of these personalities, so different in their approach. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, here's another example. Bhaktivinoda Thakur met with many worldly people, and by the mode of humble persuasion, he brought intellectuals who were completely contaminated with Western ideology and practically offensive towards the Vedic teaching. He brought them to a position of having respect for the Vedic teaching and letting go of their contaminated ideology by his high qualities and elevated character and his humble persuasion approach. But his son was the opposite. It was Nrisinga Guru, and he would chop and bash and confront and challenge and debate, and very, very different in their, that's father and son. And Prabhupada said to us, I'm 90% more lenient than my Guru Maharaj. And, you know, sometimes Prabhupada would be very strong. That was 90% more lenient. You hear sometimes Prabhupada speaking very, very strongly, yes, about impersonalists and rascals and terminology like that. And, oh, Swamiji, he's speaking very strongly. And that's 90% more lenient than Bhaktisiddhanta. But then his father would sit and speak with those people. Long conversation, very gentlemanly demeanor and very intellectual approach, and persuade them to let go of their foolishness and take Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Very, very different in their personalities, their approach, their way of transmitting Krishna consciousness. But the unity is an unadulterated message, pure devotional service coming down into cyclic succession. You can read about their lives and their teachings and find that fidelity in what they said, how they said it, the manner in which they conducted their lives. Those kinds of things were quite diverse, but the message was the same message. And that's the way of disciplic succession. So just seeing these murtis side by side, as we just did upstairs, and we're going to go back up again and have a short arti. Very nice way of making a very clear impression about who, when we're offering our prayers or offering our bhoga or offering our service or offering whatever it is we offer, these personalities are part of that line of disciplic succession that connects us with Krishna. And they're awesome personalities. Transparent, pure, via media to Krishna. With very diverse ways of exhibiting their Krishna consciousness, but pure in their Krishna consciousness. There's one very famous Vyasa Puja offering that Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada, offered to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And its message is profound. Its length is pretty long too. But he's expressing in that offering, a Vyasa Puja offering, and was called upon, as we do in our Vyasa Puja events, apparently. He was called upon by Bhaktisiddhanta to read it. And he read it, and after he read it, everyone was struck with the how profound was Abhay, our Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charan, that was his initiated name. Abhay was his birth name, Abhay Charan was initiated name, and then A.C. Bhaktivedanta was his sannyas name. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and we added on the Prabhupada part. So how eloquent was Abhay Charan? They all appreciated, although he was a householder and involved in business and didn't have his whole day to spend studying scripture and doing presenting teachings, but his dedication to writing, like Bhaktisiddhanta and like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very strong. So that guru, the message was guru is one. And it wasn't, obviously, it was not a impersonal, it's all one message. But the message of guru is one. The principle of guru tattva is one. So while you look at disciplic success, we can just see Prabhupada's murti, and that's easy. You look at the multiple murtis, and it looks like guru is multiple. And personality-wise, they're multiple, but the message is one, and the tattva is one. The representation, it can't have two messages. And it's guru, it's one message. It's Krishna's message or Lord Chaitanya's message for us, followers of Lord Chaitanya. And it's one message. Presented in according to time, place, and circumstance, and the personality of the deliverer, but it's one message. So let's see what happens. I don't know if there's going to be a rush to the market, the Govinda gift shop, and everyone's going to now want to get a set of these little Murtis. Hey, they got one, let's get ones for ourselves too. It shouldn't be like that. Although it's certainly very nice. I'm sure Bhakti Chuva Swami's Murti makers can make a whole batch of them. But it is nice to see them. They're in the Bombay temple. They're in the Vrindavan temple. Some of the larger temples have these full sets of these murtis. Very nice. We're approaching the deity form of Gornatai or Radha and Krishna or Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, or Lord Jagannath. We're approaching through the disciplic succession. They're the link, the chain of disciplic succession that permits us, their mercy permits us to approach Krishna. Without their mercy, we don't have a chance. We don't have the eligibility. They're the eligibility. Their mercy is the eligibility. So it's nice to see their deity form and honor them. So let's go back upstairs and have arati. Okay. Siddha Prabhupada ki jai.